we present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which this week comes from the Medical School of the Middlesex Hospital.
They're the best.
Earlier today, as part of their training, some of the students gave our teams a brain scan, but abandoned the search up to 4 hours. Nevertheless, please welcome Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton on my right. Barry Cryer and Denise Coffey on my left. And as usual, we go straight into the first game called Suitcases. I'm sure you'll all be delighted to know that the teams are going on holiday. For reasons that are too complicated to go into, they have to pack their suitcases entirely with objects beginning with a letter that I shall give them. The other team can challenge if they think that any of the objects will have difficulty fitting into a suitcase. The packing team will then provide suitable, far-fetched explanations as to how they intend to cram them in. What fun. Now then, Tim and Willie.
Hello.
Your letter is G. Will you pack your suitcase with objects beginning with G?
Gnu?
Gandhi.
Challenge from Barry Cryer.
Is this a folding Gandhi?
No.
No.
It's an inflatable Gandhi.
Ah. Right, carry on, Tim.
Goiter. It's just a case of goiter for taking other things.
Garlands.
Guns.
Challenge from Barry.
How many?
14.
Fair enough.
Grandfathers.
Grandmothers.
Geriatrics. Oh, we got them already, haven't we?
Yeah, you got them.
A successful challenge from Barry Cryer.
Willie stated my objection. They had them already.
That's right. Quite right. And you win that
repetition
round. It's your turn now.
If, Humph, if Willie stated it, shouldn't we win that?
Yes. Thank now, you. Barry and... Barry and Denise, your letter is M.
M.
M. M.
Mouth organ.
Malpractice suit.
Marlin spike.
Manhole cover.
Millet.
You're
challenge
a woman.
Challenge from Willie Rushton.
You're a woman. What did you want a manhole cover for?
Too late.
I have my reasons.
It took a long time to dawn on me.
Okay. I think we'll allow that.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it.
We go on to the next round, which is the point in the programme where I flick through the yellow pages and ask our teams to stop me and choose a trade. And then at the end of the programme, I'll be asking the teams for appropriate names for members of that trade. All right, I'm going to flick the thing now. If
stop.
We've stopped here at the letter H, and you can either have... I'll give you a selection. You can have hose manufacturers and accessories, or you can have horse slaughterers,
right.
Or you can have horticultural wholesalers.
Wholesalers.
Horticultural wholesalers.
Horse slaughterers, I'm into.
Horse slaughterers?
Yes, GG wasted.
Or horse slaughterers. No. So you... Horticultural wholesalers it is. And we now enter a phase which is familiar to all BBC quiz programmes, which is that the teams will busy themselves over the next 20 minutes thinking about their answers for that last game, while at the same time giving their whole attention to the intervening rounds. It's a marvellous feat. I don't know how they do it. We go on to a round now called Excuses. This is based on the game so popular with married couples, Where the Hell Have You Been? It's Gone Midnight. Someone I'm about to nominate will ask a searching question, and the next person will make an excuse, the next will follow that excuse, and so on until I press the buzzer or murder is committed. And we're going to start with Tim Brooke Taylor.
Ah. Why are you wearing that suspender belt?
To keep my socks up.
But it's round your forehead.
I thought I was taller.
but doesn't it stunt your growth?
Pardon?
Let's start with you, Barry, now.
What are you doing in this sex clinic?
I'm having a sponsored vasectomy.
You had one last week.
That was a Chinese vasectomy. You have one, and 10 minutes later you want another one.
But you've got no trousers on.
They were removed by a specialist.
But you haven't got any other clothes on either.
Yes, this is a teaching hospital.
Yes, but for vets.
Well, would you doctor a cat in trousers?
But what's a cat doing in your trousers?
A magnificent tribute to Andrew Lloyd Webber.
What has Andrew Lloyd Webber got to do with a vasectomy?
Don't you know your old possum?
Not since I had my vasectomy.
Well done, Denise. Now, opera. It's time for a musical round, and I want you to sing a snatch, teams, of grand opera from a selected passage.
Is that a medical term? Oh, how splendid.
Say it again, Uncle. It's the best laugh we've had.
Now it's time for a musical round. I want you to sing a fragment of grand opera.
Oh, dear.
What is a snitch?
From a selected passage. I'm just giving these things to read out. I don't know. I'm going to say it again now.
These trousers are very tight around the fragments, yes.
I'm going to say it as it's written, and to hell with it. Now it's time for a musical round. I want you to sing a snatch of grand opera from a selected passage, accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. Denise and Barry, I want you to sing...
I'm not coming here with my hemorrhoids.
Well, leave them at home.
Denise and Barry, I want you to sing an extract from an Italian menu, Aieta by Lasagna Verdi.
We welcome you to the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden.
Excuse me.
Sorry, Covent Coffee, for the gala performance of the old Italian restaurant joke. We've been asked to point out that the Pavarotti is off. The curtain rises on the first course, where two hungry lovers crave antipasti. Valpolicella.
Fagioli.
Scallopina.
Grazie, prega.
Osso bucco.
Espresso cappuccino.
Insolata mista.
Scampi alla provincial. A casa, a casa.
Acqua minerale. Acqua minerale. Il conto, per favore.
Yes, dear, you want your bill, do you? Service is not included, ducky.
American Express?
That'll do nicely. You mean pasta?
We're closed.
Very moving. Tim and Willie, your turn now, and I want you to sing your snatch from Grand Opera. Is...
Could I just do a snitch of this one?
Better do a fragment, I think. I can't get no satisfaction.
Sorry to hear that, Hump.
Go on.
and get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction, 'cause I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no satisfaction.
You can't get no satisfaction.
No marks for that. That was awful. Now,
verse two will be good, though.
And now we go on to the next game, which is a new one, and it's Pro-Am Matchbox on Noses. We're going to play Pro-Am Matchbox on Noses, and for this round we need the participation of two members of the audience. Can we have two volunteers now, the volunteers we picked earlier on? If you could unstrap them from their seats, they can come up on stage and join our teams.
Hello.
And your name is?
Beverly.
Beverly, and yours is? Vicky. Beverly on the left with Barry
Ricky.
And
it's Ricky,
Denise.
Not Vicky.
Oh, Ricky. And Ricky with Tim and Willie. Now, the aim of this game is for each team... The aim of this game is for each team to pass a matchbox from nose to nose without the use of any hands until it ends up where it began. Do you understand that, Beverly, all right?
It's a very petite nose we've been provided with over here. It's a charming nose. It's a nice nose.
You didn't specify the number of laps, Humph, initially.
I think it's the first one. It doesn't matter how many laps. The most you can do in the 20 minutes allowed.
If you want to join in at home, I'm on the left. I'll pass it to the right-hand side of the radio.
No Denise, problem. Will you start?
I will.
And pass to Barry. Now, we start now. And at the moment, Tim and Willie and Ricky are leading. Ricky's nose is too small. Flare your nostrils, Ricky. Beverly's on her knees. Beverly's... Now.
Excellent.
Tim's dropped it. Willie's cheated. Willie's cheated.
Back, Ben. Oh. Must be.
Thank you very much, Beverly and Ricky, for joining in there.
Excellent.
What a lovely state of affairs as we go on to our bedtime story. And for this round, I shall want each team to tell us a bedtime story. And the winners will be the first team to send the audience to sleep. One team member will start the story, and he will then signal our studio manager for a sound effect to enhance the drama. Unfortunately, our technician is wearing headphones, so the sound effect may not be suitable. His partner, however, must then continue the story, working the sound effect that he hears into the narrative. May seem absolute gibberish to you, but you'll understand as we go along, as you have done in every game so far. Tim and Willie, you're going to start now to tell the story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Once upon a time, many, many years ago, there was a little girl whose name I don't know. In fact, she was called Little Red Riding Hood after the nun's habit she had. That's another story entirely.
Never go into a suitcase. Oh, sorry.
She also had this Red Riding Hood. And her mother said, "Go off, Little Red Riding Hood." That was her name by now. "Go off and take these goodies to your grandmother."
What size, grandmother?
About this size.
Ah.
She opened the door and went... She opened the door and went...
on an away day to Granny's. Well, it transpired to be an away week, as it normally does. Well, a week to get there. And she found herself in the forest. Now, lurking behind the tree was a creature that can only be described as a wolf. Noise of wolf lurking.
Its heart was beating fast. In the sheer excitement of the thought of eating up this delicious morsel, he rushed ahead to Granny's house, where he knew Little Red Riding Hood was going. Skippity-skip went Little Red Riding Hood, and she also went...
Suffice to say, we'll never know who the father was. However, that over, on she skipped. Arrived at Granny's, unbeknownst to her, Wolf had mugged Granny and had donned Granny's black leather nightgown. As Red Riding Hood leapt in, there was Wolf, disguised as Granny, sitting in bed. Noise of Granny sitting in bed.
Watching Coronation Street. And playing a mighty organ. Ah, said the wolf. What big eyes you've got. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? It's a Red Riding Hood. No, for purposes of this story, the wolf said, what big eyes you've got, little Red Riding Hood. What big teeth you've got. What big nose you've got for playing the matchbox game. And at that moment, just before the wolf came to eat her, in leapt the woodchopper, which I'd forgotten to mention earlier in the story. And he went...
Bad luck. Otherwise, he could have saved her.
The end.
Very good. Very good indeed. No marks, but very good. And we go over to Denise and Barry and ask you to tell the bedtime story of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack was at the marketplace one day and bought a cow. Making his way home with the cow along a country lane, he suddenly noticed that the cow was going...
Oh, yes, springtime, he said. My favourite time of the year. Suddenly, from behind a hedge, he heard this.
Mother, he said, what are you doing there? Accelerating the story. I've just exchanged this cow for some magic beans. New readers start here. With that, his mother hit him.
My name isn't Ben, he said. It's Jack. It's Jack, your son. Don't you recognise me, mother? No, I don't recognise your father either, she said. You've done a very foolish thing, my dear, she said. You will find out that it will make you go...
But the ointment may help. With this, Jack threw the beans into the ground. They sprang up and an enormous beanstalk grew. Up he vaulted and was confronted with a giant who went...
I must stop eating at the Middlesex University Hospital canteens.
Barry and Jerry. Sound charades. Using only the immense versatility of their voices, each team will in turn give us a charade of a play, film, book or whatever, and the other team will then have to guess what it is or why they bothered to do it. And Holly. It's going to be Denise and Barry who are going to do the charade, first of all. It's going up on the computer now, and for you listening at home, here it is.
Pirates of Penzance. Pirates of Penzance.
Right, Denise and Barry, is it a film or a play or what?
It's a theatrical production... And indeed now a film.
Yes.
A film.
Right.
It's four words.
Right. When you start your charade.
We'll do it all at once. Well, I think it's robbery.
So do I. I quite
was
agree.
Looking forward to one of them pasties.
I know.
1.50 a throw.
It's disgusting.
Did they think we were born yesterday?
Made of money, they seem
wet
to
behind
think
the
we
ears.
Are.
Look, I will not deal with these people anymore down in this neck of the woods.
Carry on, Tim and Willie.
Splendid game this is. Have you got an idea, Willie?
No.
No. Okay, we give up.
Pretty brutal stuff.
Yeah.
No, it was sort of Cornish.
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 Well, there were mention of pasties, be fair.
Expensive pasties.
Gandhi eats a pasty.
Oh, that's what it was in his loincloth. No, no, nothing to do with
Sorry,
Gandhi.
What is an expensive pasty? Willie?
No idea.
37p, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If someone retailed you an expensive pasty, what might you cry, depending on where you were?
If somebody,
that's
somebody
a
what?
Very dear pasty.
Film's
yes,
over.
Yes.
Robbery. Our local Odeon.
Robbery, possibly on the high seas.
What? Mutiny on the pasty.
Was that, it's not Jamaica, it's the other one, isn't it?
What's the other one?
The Bible.
The other one is...
and there's a place name in it.
And there's a place name.
Cornish place name in it.
Is it?
Right.
Yes.
Oh.
Could you give us some help now?
Hello, listeners.
I would explain to those of you listening at home what's going on if I were not confident that you're listening to Radio 1.
We greet World Service listeners who've just joined us.
In the third day of this exciting event.
The results are still coming
Penzance.
In.
Oh, it runs.
That's far too obvious.
Tim and Willie, will you do a charade now? And it's going up on the computer for our audience here. And here it is for you listening at home.
The French Lieutenant's Woman. The French Lieutenant's Woman.
Okay, Tim and Willie, is it a film or what?
It's a
book and a film.
Book and a film. How many words?
Four.
Officier.
Oui.
Je t'adore.
Fin.
Well, it's fin with me too.
Better get this right, because Tim and Willie are streets ahead.
The word that's French is the one that's spelled...
Streets ahead.
Ahead.
I said streets ahead, actually.
Streets ahead. Meryl Streep, the French Lieutenant's Woman.
Right. And now we come to the point where I asked the teams for their appropriate entries in the Yellow Pages, and the trade that they chose from the Yellow Pages was horticultural wholesalers.
We didn't choose it.
Forced on us like rhubarb.
I've got Roy Rogers under horse slaughterers.
Then you are, will you welcome Seed Wheel? Or Seed Wheelbarrow? Or would you welcome, please, those proud, civilised naval men who have just arrived in one piece, the haughty cultural whole sailors?
Oh, and in the Swedish Yellow Pages, there is Leaf Mould. And in the Scottish Yellow Pages, Gordon Shears.
Would you welcome from Australia, please? Auntie Gladys. And Auntie Rhinum.
With their boarder, Herb Aceous.
Mary Tyler Moore's friend, Rhododendron.
Ivor Shotter Gelding, is it possible? Oh, I was horse loggers. Sorry.
They want to gossip, but there's Kate Bush with Peter Woods, Des Oak Connor,
Patrick Moore and his sister, Lorna Moore.
And over there is Trim Brook Baylor, a water gardens emptying specialist.
Benson Hedges, the entry here. Their catchy motto, send for the cops. Privets on parade. And shrubbery with violets.
I think the horse slaughterers was better, really.
Yes.
At which point, as there's no more contributions from the teams,
Oh, I think when we're really ahead like this, it's best to stop it, Hump.
I'm sorry, I got bogged down in horse slaughtering, but somehow it tickled my fancy.
That's all for this week from all of us. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Denise Coffey, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.